We're convened at 5:12. Representative Foster, Mackey, Mulder, Vesey, and Gary Davis. We have three things today, confirmation Marine pilots, and we'll do 207 and 61. Marine pilots, here we got. Let's see, do we have any backup on the Marine pilot? And what are some names for the Marine pilot?
Page four.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Is there a background on that?
Yeah, on each one, on it.
Okay, we'll do Mark Springer first.
His is the very last one.
Oh, Mark Springer as well?
Kind of bumper.
Okay, we've got bio on,
Yes.
On Mark Springer in the back, last two pages. Yes, sir, go ahead, Representative Mackey.
Mr. Chairman, what's your pleasure on these? Do you want to take them individually, or would you like to take the whole group and, or pull out anybody that...
I think somebody might have some questions. Representative Vesey?
I think we should give them all third degree, take them to the...
We've got them all to individual.
Is there anybody here?
Are they here?
Mark Springer is not here.
You're not here?
None of them are here.
Okay. Otherwise, I'd be glad to,
Move them on?
We drag fear in the hearts of Marine pilots.
Yeah, don't we?
Anybody have any problems?
Nope.
Move it.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Donna C. Bumgardner, John C. Klepper, and Mark E. Springer be recommended for confirmation to this committee.
Is there any objection? No objection being noted. These three people have been confirmed by this committee for the Board of Marine Pilots.
Let me...
And Dr. J. Rowan.
Okay, 207. Okay, that's Michael.
I knew I liked this bill.
Mary's available to testify.
Okay, an act related to the organization of DOT and public facilities in four regions. Did you want to testify then, Mary? That would probably be the fastest way. We've got the sponsor statement in the packet on page two. This bill was introduced to generate concessions. Go ahead, that's Larry LeBoll, the chief staff for the transportation committee.
Okay, for the record, I'm Larry LeBoll, work for Representative Foster. This bill was introduced primarily to look at the concept of dividing the rural portion of Alaska off and creating its own maintenance and construction component in DOT. The idea, or I think, was essentially generated because we felt that many of the areas, particularly the lower Yukon, when we looked at the airfields and the facilities, just have never gotten the attention they should have had. They're very much like what one found back in the 60s in western Alaska. And as a result of some discussions between Representative Foster and other rural legislators, they felt that at least this concept should be looked at and evaluated to determine whether or not it was maybe a viable type of organization, DOT.
Okay. Any questions?
We do, I might add, we do have the position paper from the department, and we also have a fiscal note, and the fiscal note comes pretty steep. As I understand the fiscal note, what they did is when they looked at combining two departments into one, they looked at the positions that were key in that and used that basic criteria for developing the fiscal note for this particular bill. There probably would be some savings by combining some services or looking at services that aren't needed. So this fiscal note could, in reality, if this bill passed or moved on to that point, this fiscal note probably would be reduced some by deciding what services you needed, what services you might get from the other department or from the other region over here.
Let me get, you want to explain the fiscal note?
Is this a positive revenue savings?
Yeah, right.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty steep. I hadn't seen this until just now.
Oh, and, general funding.
If maybe you could go over it real briefly, then I think I'll just hold on to this.
Sure.
Obviously,
when we presented some options for combining Central and Northern, which is one of the things we looked at, we identified a bunch of positions that were similar between the two regions. And what we did is we took that list and basically costed them out. And in this backup, you'll see those positions identified that come to this total. basically, it's a, on the administrative side, it's an assistant commissioner and a secretary, a lead accountant, lead personnel person, lead supply person, a budget analyst, two accounting clerks. Then there's a lead planning, lead transportation planning person, and a secretary. Then in the design and construction area, there's a director and a secretary, and then a chief of design, an aviation design chief, highway design chief. And not all of those positions are fully general funded. Then a right-of-way agent, a technical engineer for project control activities. And then in the maintenance and operations, there's a director and a clerk, with the assumption that all other support staff would be provided from existing organizations. So I think that one of the things, as Larry mentioned, you could do is, in our cost estimate assumes this is located in Anchorage. And the reason we chose Anchorage is looking at the air routes. Anchorage has probably got the most direct service into all of the rural areas that would be identified. Also, it's the lower cost salary schedule area. So if you decided that you were going to have a region like this, but you were going to effectively have administrative services provided by the existing organization in Central Region, you could get rid of probably the lead accountant and the personnel officer and some of those things. If you get rid of too many of them, whoever this regional director is would be at the mercy of the Central Region director for support, though. So, and the same in the engineering area, which it might be easier in that area to share some of these services, such as right away, you could probably share the lead person there, and all of the direct CIP costs would be eligible. So you could cut back on the general fund. But this was the attempt to set up a mirror organizational structure. And if you chose to go anyplace other than Anchorage or Fairbanks, you would need this plus additional staffing.
Okay, as I said earlier, this is my bill. we've got Representative Hoffman also. The only intent that we had of offering it, and I'm going to pull the bill back here when I'm done talking, is to generate the discussion and just let the rest of the committee know the amount of frustration felt by bush areas in dealing with the three main regions in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Northern Region, and then South. Representative Easy?
I had a real important question. I had trouble figuring out why the northern region is south of the rural region.
Did we have a Larry?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he wants to know why the northern region is south of the
rural region. North close to the rural region.
Yes.
And the northern region is therefore must be south of the rural region.
Go ahead. Already
exists. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just one other point on that. Yeah, it would be south and west, I guess. I mean, east of the rural region. But we do think if you're going to consider this more, there should be a consideration about some sort of connected road system being in with the northern region. In other words, the Dalton Highway, even though part of it's in the North Slope Borough, we think should be considered as part of the northern region, just because of the continuity of services that go up and down that line.
Right. Okay, Representative Mackey?
I was just hoping that you wouldn't withdraw the bill.
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to analyze it a little bit myself personally here. And since we've had it up already one time, I can schedule it at any time, Representative Menard.
Thank you very much. So, your point in putting this together is that the areas that you had included in this bill to set it up, you're always having to come into Fairbanks or into the Anchorage area, and as far as the attention out in the districts, out in there, has not been to the level that you're satisfied with.
Well, I think the level of frustration arose when Ice-T monies came out about a year ago. Year and a half ago, and all of the $450 million in ICE-T money that was geared for this year and next year, there wasn't a cent, not one penny going to either Western, Arctic, or the Bethel area. Any place other than Fairbanks and Anchorage, it was all geared for the urban areas. And now we've come up with different plans, but only after a lot of discussion on the one hand, and even then, of that money's They're asking the rural areas to beg the BIA for their small pot of monies, which the BIA has always spent in, basically in the bush areas, about anywhere from 3 to 10 million a year. But after considerable more begging, then it was offered the crumb of $9 million for what we call poop roads in the bush. So, you know, the amount of money has always been centralized in those areas. On the one hand, when revenues come in, you know, the bush has always felt that not much gets out to the bush. And then when cuts come in, then the bush is the first to suffer, and everything gets centralized in either Fairbanks or down to Anchorage. So, you know, it just goes on. And the frustration felt by these is that the bush area should have their own bush DOT instead of north and south central regions and all that. There should be some kind of a bush region that gets a fair allocation of monies and is protected accordingly from budget cuts, not being the bottom of the totem pole. And it was mostly a self-defense measure.
I remember we talked about it last year when we went through it in transportation, and I certainly see your point. I know that we grumble in the valley when stuff funnels to Anchorage. Well, I do understand a few of those things that happens, yes.
A lot of feelings involved. Representative Older, and then Matt.
Jeez, I think I'm in a minority. Yeah, I should say it there. It seems to me that, you know, while what Ron has done is present a cost of what a region would be, but it really doesn't reflect the shifts that would occur, because there are people within the central and northern regions who do work on those functions. So it's really not a real reflective cost, the actual cost of having a rural region. Mm-hmm. I'm not really opposed to the idea either.
Well, you know, I brought this up earlier in the meeting that the new under reapportionment, I gained a whole bunch of villages down in the central region. And I thought that the maintenance on their runways and roads was atrocious compared to the northern region.
What do you call the central region?
Out of Anchorage, down in the Nunavak area. Yeah, I gained 10 new villages there, then up from St. Mary's and Russian Mission. But, you know, just looking at the difference in the amount of attention given to the central region that they're giving to the bush, which would be, in this case, Lyman Hoffman in that area, and those villages, which are considerably backward in comparison, Tuxa Bay and Kipnuk and Chipponak and all those. His level of frustration is considerably more than mine, and as a matter of fact, right now I would like to even take in some of those villages down there and meld them into the northern region. I've been talking about that with DOT officials for some time, if that's possible. I don't know, but and that's the next best thing is just trying to get out of the Anchorage area, because everything goes on Benson Boulevard and all the streets around there, nothing filters down to Nunavak Island, you know. But anyway, that's a personal feeling. This bill is meant for discussion. Representative Jared Mackin.
Yeah, I'd like this bill too, and I intend to sign on as co-sponsor, and I hope he wouldn't withdraw it because...
Well, I'm not withdrawing. I'm just holding on to it. I'd like to analyze it more and talk to Ron and see exactly what makes up what could be centralized, for example, accounting and personnel functions and stuff. Maybe I can get that fiscal note down, because with this kind of a fiscal note, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I share a lot of the same frustration, and I have 36 communities, which I consider to be rural, and certainly on a comparison, they don't compare to some of the conditions in your district or some of the others that you mentioned. However, I still share the same kind of frustration there. You know, we've tried for a couple years to get $50,000 to do an engineering to link up like the sand with the rest of the island, of which the BIA will pay for, but nobody wants to put money into a new road unless there's first engineered, right? And so, I mean, I've had the same kind of frustration in what I consider to be a rural area as well. And, I would just think that I agree with Representative Alder's comments about the fiscal note. Quite frankly, in the 3 years I've been here, I haven't seen a fiscal note yet that I thought really talked about what would happen. A lot of times fiscal notes reflect the agency's position on a bill. I'm not saying that's the case here. I appreciate the actual backup and what you're contributing those amounts to, because I would be totally amazed if I just looked at the fiscal note like we usually get them at $2 million and not see the backup. So I can see where you've got those numbers, and I'm not criticizing that. However, fiscal notes in general are not on the top of my the things that I like, just because of that. But
I would
think, Mr. Chairman, if I can just finish up that, you know, because of the certain deadlines that are approaching and so forth, that perhaps the Finance Committee, of which you serve, might be a better place to continue analyzing the bill and looking at the fiscal note. And, you know, it all has to go before that committee anyway. And, you know, because of your strong feelings about this, I think maybe that's a better place to have this bill.
So do you want to move it out then?
I would be happy
to. The Finance Committee, whether the fiscal note or just look at the transportation question. Okay, well, I'll consider that a move out with individual recommendations if there's an objection. No objection? Okay, this moved out of this committee. Okay, we've got Representative Nordman here. Was 08, is that correct? Come on up.
Hudson said he's going to go until about 5 minutes to six or 10 to six, and he wanted us to come back. Well, we got done with this.
Work is up real fast.
Yeah, I'm trying to drag things out here.
Okay, I'll hear
the message. How did it end up later?
Oh, yeah, you know. Well, here, I'll wait for you. Okay, we've got HB 61, Representative Nordman, act relating to the offensive operating water vehicle aircraft, watercraft, while intoxicated. We had one hearing already. I held it for some people to either get more input, or if there was anybody in the public or anybody on this committee that offered or wants to offer an amendment. Do you have any other information that you wanted to share with us? Or?
Mr. Chairman, no, I don't, really, other than it was brought to my attention that there's been two bills introduced in Congress, one in the Senate and one in the House, that would require states to adopt the .08 or face significant loss in federal highway funds. And who knows, I have no idea how well they fare in Congress, but there's that movement afoot.
Okay. Did you want to add something?
I was the one that gave Representative Nordman federal legislation.
Okay.
Well, for the record, my name is
Monique Vincent, Division of Education. Okay, well, does anybody have any questions of Representative Nordman? This thing here goes, this thing goes on to Judiciary next and then Finance. It's got two more committees. I do have one of this. Does anybody else have an amendment before I offer one? Okay, I've got one here. Let's just pass it out. I wonder if I could get Larry to give us a background on the amendment. Or Juanita?
It isn't her proposal, but she knows.
Well, you better not look at it.
Sorry, Jim.
It's in your body here.
Okay, if Juanita can tell us what the law says on this amendment. And then, Larry, if I could do that, say where we got this. Oh, okay. Okay,
Chairman,
go ahead.
For the record, uh-huh. And my name is Juanita Hensley, and I'm with Division of Motor Vehicles. Right up front, I'm rather confused with this amendment because I don't know really what it's saying. The federal requirements as far as the 410 highway fund monies is concerned, Alaska must meet, for a basic grant criteria for alcohol monies, we must meet at least five of six requirements. One of those requirements being a 0.8% alcohol. We would qualify for the 410 monies, providing we have five other of the requirements, which is sobriety checkpoints on a monthly basis throughout the state. It doesn't necessarily mean that the sobriety checkpoints have to be held all over the state every month. It means that we can pick and choose an area that we can do that with. It would mean that we would have to have a 0.8% law. It means that we'd have to identify an underage driver being 21 or under, which there is a bill right now that was on the floor of the Senate today that would identify that portion of the an expedited driver's license revocation, which we do have in place at the present time in the administrative license revocation for DWI. However, that portion, Representative Mulder has a bill in that's helping us out with that. We are not qualifying for that portion because we allow repeat offenders to have limited licenses, so that's throwing us out of it. A self-sustaining drunk driving program, we are meeting that because we do have alcohol education with the highway safety funds that we presently have. The minimum drinking age prevention program, again, that's the underage 21 driver, and we can, with Senator Kelly's bill, if it passes, meet that requirement. Mandatory sentencing, it does require us to have mandatory sentencing. The mandatory sentencing, we do meet that grant or that requirement because we do have a 72-hour minimum jail time for first offenders. The federal requirement requires at least a minimum of 48 hours. So we are in compliance with several of them, but we are not quite at 0.108 or the limited license portion and the identifying the underage drivers. Now, there's several additional grants that once we qualify for the basic grant, we can qualify for the additional grants as well. And those, the total grant money is going to be in excess of $200,000 for highway safety programs. If we have all of the other ones and keep a 0.10, we can qualify for that. However, it does mean that we will eventually, within a 3-year period, have to have a 0.8% law, or we would lose all highway funds for the alcohol monies.
Okay, so the effect of this amendment is what? And then next I'll have Representatives TVM.
The effect of this amendment basically just says that if this law, the way I'm reading this, does not become effective, or if we do not have a 0.8% law by January 1st, 1995, this amendment is really confusing, and I may...
Okay, this amendment came by request of Char through the committee. It's too bad Char's not here, huh? Yeah, it's their amendment. Okay, Representative Beasy, Davis, and then Mack.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say that I have been exposed to federal blackmail, I suppose, as long as anybody here has. But since being in here, I have reached my saturation level. And as far as I'm concerned, the federal government just keep their money. There's too much of this going on. You mentioned 6 criteria, 2 or 3 of which we would have great difficulty telling to our citizens, I think, one of which is unconstitutional, in my understanding. I hold a commercial driver's license. I am legally intoxicated at 0.04 blood alcohol content. For that privilege, I get to pay $100 for a driver's license instead of 25. This bill is not going to help make our highways safe. We are currently arresting people for DWI at an average blood alcohol content of 0.18, not 0.08, but 0.18. We are looking at our correction system. We are currently planning, there is a bill moving through the legislature not to incarcerate the people convicted of DWI. We're going to a halfway house type of system as financial pressures continue to increase on our correction system. We may have to go with something more less restrictive than that. So I really think that we're not the only state that has trouble financing all these federal mandates, and I just think at some point in time we have to say we're not in agreement.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Beasy, these monies are not withheld from the state at the present time. These are monies that if we meet these certain criteria, we can be eligible for this additional monies from the feds for programs such as this. The state of California, Utah, Oregon, and Maine have all adopted 0.8% laws, and they have shown a decrease in alcohol fatalities as a result of that. Now, those states also have, especially California, Utah, and Maine, have had extensive enforcement provisions in the laws that will allow them to enforce at 0.8%, and therefore it has reduced fatalities, quite a bit. But as far as the federal mandates that Representative Norland just spoke about, as far as the federal laws, those are laws that have just been just now introduced in Congress. They have not even had it for screening referral yet. And it's not monies that the state would necessarily lose. The way the bill is drafted in its present form, the monies would be withheld until the state came in compliance with the 08% law. And then those monies would be transferred from a highway apportionment to a highway safety program for enforcement of DPCI programs. And I realize what you're saying as far as the unconstitutionality of one of the requirements here is the checkpoint issue. We would not necessarily have to meet that issue. That is certainly something that we want to look at, and we think that it can reduce alcohol fatalities in the state by doing that. But that's certainly something that the requirements, and we have most of them in already. We already have most of them. There's just a couple more that we need to get in order to be in compliance with this. And I must say, a couple of years ago, we were in compliance. But laws have changed that will allow a limited license up to a sixth offender now, and it's preventing us from being eligible for these licenses. And I understand, because I'm having to face those federal mandated laws and federal mandated requirements, and without the federal monies or anything to enforce them. Commercial driver's license program is one of them. The motor voter bill is another where it's coming up on the horizon. It just passed through as Congress. To require the Division of Motor Vehicles to register a voter on the same application that you make for driver's license. No incentive there for monies or anything to help us do the program. There are various federal requirements that we are having to meet right now, and it's been very difficult. The Commercial Motor Vehicle Safety Act is certainly something that keeps adding to it. The Federal Drug Act that you heard of in committees today is another one. So I can certainly.
Okay, Mackey, and then Mulder.
Well, I was just going to point out too, you know, that the. I think she covered. She covered what.
Okay, Reds on the Mulder.
Well, because there was nobody here to talk about the amendment, I can describe it real quick. As Juanita said, there are, I believe, six possible things, and to be eligible for this additional money, you have to meet five of the six. And all the amendment says. Basically is that if we've reached the five criteria already, and this one being number six, if we've reached the five, we pass this would be number six, it doesn't take effect if we're eligible for these funds with the other five, so that it would only be effective if for some reason one of the other five fell out. In other words, we're taking care of limited licenses and holograms or fake IDs, etc. So if we already qualify for these funds, this bill would be meaningless. We can pass it, but it'd only be triggered if we didn't have sufficient five of those requirements to be eligible. So it's basically a bit of a hold harmless kind of deal. The way that they think that we're going to be eligible anyway. The point is that Char is offering the amendment, I believe, because they believe we're going to be eligible for these funds without this bill. That we are going to pass enough of these requirements of those five criteria without this bill. So if we pass this bill and we do meet with the others, then this bill would be null.
Okay, I got you. Representative.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment that we need five out of the six criteria. One of those criteria is the sobriety checkpoint, which is probably unconstitutional. So we wouldn't qualify under that one. So you'd have to do the other five, which means you would have to do the .08 in order to get the federal money. So. Am I correct about that?
That's
correct. So this, I see this amendment as being almost moot, but even if for some reason we were able to do the sobriety checkpoint, doesn't this amendment wanting to still compromise our ability to get supplemental funding from the feds?
If we do not have a 0% by within a 3-year period, it would compromise, I guess.
Right.
That was
the vote of the week. Yeah. Okay, well, Representative Menard.
Thank you. So, if I understand this, the effect of this amendment had its, if it is adopted, it would more or less render this bill ineffective until. You know, if we met all those requirements, and this bill would not be in effect, correct?
Right.
And it's so I guess that's kind of cuts the bill. And I guess the other thing that Representative Feasy was saying on moving it from, if I understand it correctly, moving it from 0.1 to 0.08, there is just a fine, right? A $250 fine. It's,
right.
There's not a jail sentence or
no, it's
that's just
correct.
A fine. Just,
right.
Just
yeah, I wanted to make that point.
So it would not affect corrections or facilities or
something. Yeah, the additional, the marginal increase of folks you're including under DWI now from 0.10 to 0.08 would just be given a fine, a minimum $250 fine. Now it's still a Class A misdemeanor, so a judge in an egregious kind of situation could send the person to jail, but it's not very unlikely that they would.
So it doesn't have the mandatory, I mean, it just doesn't take all the requirements for when I would move it down to 08?
It doesn't have the mandatory 3 days in jail.
Representative Beatty.
I would just add that I didn't see in this bill where it repealed existing statutes. Currently under Alaska law, you can be convicted of DWI at 0.04. In my case, I am DWI at 0.04. No, any citizen can be convicted by a jury at blood alcohol above 0.04.
Right. But the situation is that 0.10 and above is presumptive. In other words, as long as you blow over on the breath test, you are guilty.
Presumably
at 0.10 and over, yeah. But there, I think
between 0.04 and 0.1, it is subject to the fact being decided by a jury.
Right. Yeah. And other circumstances could be brought.
Right.
But except in, if you have a commercial driver's license, then it's just the fact that you're DWI.
That's right.
Yeah, and I just wanted to shed light on what Representative Easy said too. I know there's been lots of people in the state that have been convicted of DWI for less than 0.10. And, you know, the 0.10 is what's in statute for what the law considers legally drunk. However, if an officer or prosecutor can prove that that individual was intoxicated at below 0.10, then they can still be convicted of DWI. I mean, I personally have had people that I've arrested that were, on video and, doing this and couldn't pass the sobriety test and everything. So it really affects an individual differently according to their body size and weight and just a number of things and whether or not they've eaten that day and so many things that go into the picture. So it's not an automatic 0.10 that, oh, you hit it, there you are, you're drunk at 1.0. I mean, the law is a lot more flexible than what most people consider, that you can drink right up to 1.0 and you're not drunk until you're 1.0, and that's not the case.
Okay, well, any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, can I make one more comment about the amendment? Thanks. The thrust of this, I mean, I think it's great that we can take advantage of federal funds, but the thrust of this bill really is to try to take care of a marginal additional group of people that are impaired while they're driving, that do compromise public safety. And so, I mean, basically I'm saying I would, oppose this amendment because it makes it seem like the thrust of the legislation is merely capture federal funds, and that's the secondary reason for the bill. The primary reason, again, is to try to attempt to discourage folks from driving while they're impaired.
Okay, no other questions? The chairman's neutral on this. We've got an amendment on the table here. If anybody wants to offer it, fine. If not, that's okay. And if the majority here want to move it out of the committee, that's fine with me too. Or if you want to hold on to it and talk about it some more, that's up to you guys. I'm neutral representative Mackey.
Well, I was just going to suggest that I would really rather not act on the amendment until at least our legal people have an opportunity to see how it affects.
Okay, the next committee is judiciary anyway.
Could just go with the bill of judiciary and have them analyze that particular amendment.
For consideration, that's fine. Okay, what's the will of the committee here on moving the bill?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there's no discussion, I would think we should move the bill.
Okay. Any objection?
Object.
Okay, how about you want to move it with individual recommendations?
Yeah.
Okay, now any objection?
Still
objection. Okay, we'll go ahead and vote then. We've got a little.
You go there.
Oh, there.
No.
Easy?
No.
Davis?
Yes.
Bernard?
Yes.
Mackey?
Yes.
Foster?
No. Three and three, huh? Well,
it looks like it stays here in the committee here until we do some more work on it.
Mr. Chairman, maybe, you know, we, if you want, go ahead and take a look at this amendment, if that would change somebody's vote, I would...
Okay, then you could try to pull it out of judiciary or something, that'd be fine. We have another motion? You want to move the amendment?
I'll move the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any objection to moving the amendment?
Well, only that, the reason I didn't like the amendment, because I think it's pretty confusing, needs to be looked at by our legal team.
I think it passed out of this committee, if that was amended, and then he could work to pull it out in the next committee instead of us sitting here.
Yeah, Representative, it's fine, if there's a significant problem with the amendment, I don't fully understand it myself, but we'll have time to look at it, and we can research it in judiciary, and if it's a problem, we'll talk about it back.
The only thing I'm stating is I don't make it practice to vote on amendments that are confusing or that I don't like, but I'll just not object to the amendment being proposed, I guess. I don't have anything to do with the bill moving or not.
Okay, how about, okay, well, go ahead and then Representative Easy.
House Bill 61 is in front of judiciary Monday afternoon. They've already pending referral from this committee.
Okay, Representative Easy?
I just like to say that I don't like to do sloppy work. When a bill comes out of committee or the next committee should have it.
I'll tell you what, we're meeting again on Tuesday at 5, and we'll have Char here. How does that sound? This is their... Representative Menard?
Okay. Are you saying it's already scheduled in judiciary next
right,
week?
Right, yeah.
Depending on Monday. Well, Mr. Chairman, it seems like this is a kind of a legal issue. I would be inclined to move the bill on to have judiciary flush it out if it is what the objection to doing that.
Okay, you mean passing an amendment that...
Incorporating the amendment in this bill and passing
Okay, I would be supportive of that. I think there would be...
I won't object to the amendment under that scenario.
Okay, who's moving the amendment then?
Okay,
and then Al Easy is objecting then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll go ahead and vote on whether or not we should bring the amendment up.
Mulder?
Yes.
Easy?
No.
Foster?
Yes.
Mackey?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Menard?
Yes.
Okay, the bill's been amended. Now I need a motion on the floor to move it out of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and move the House Bill 61 out of the committee as amended with individual recommendations.
Any objection?
Chair.
Okay, we'll go ahead and vote on that.
Mulder?
Yes.
Easy?
No.
Foster?
Yes.
Mackey?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Menard?
Yes.
Okay, this bill HB 61 is moved out of committee with individual recommendations. I'm going to go ahead and adjourn right now if I can hold everybody here so we can sign the papers, and the next meeting is on Tuesday.
I'll tell.
Thank you.
Hudson, you got to be up momentarily.